Good afternoon, Northside Church. Do we have children's worship today? We do. Okay. Children's second through fourth grade can go upstairs for children's worship. And during before communion, they'll come down and pray with us and have communion with us. Children's second to fourth to second grade. Okay, it's children fourth through second grade.
You're third grade.
Welcome to Northside Church this evening, where we're a church in the north side of Richmond, where we hope to be a multicultural church in a city that is diverse. This is something that the Lord has put on our hearts, and we're still moving towards what God has given us to do. Today, 2 days before Christmas, so I want to say Merry Christmas to everyone. And Happy New Year for those I won't see next week. I'll be here, but I'm pretty sure a lot of people are going to be traveling. Our scripture today is going to come from John 1, verses 1 through 5, and then 9 through 13. And we can get ahead and read it, and I'll get ahead and pray, and we'll go into the message. That's John 1, the Gospel of John. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and then 9 through 13. And it reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." In verse 9 through 13. "The true light which gives light unto everyone was coming into the world, and he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. Grass withers, a flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands forever.
Praise be to God.
As I was preparing this message, I was thinking about my life and just how did I come to where I am right now. And actually, I was thinking when I was adding up the times that I have moved, I added up about 17 times I've moved, and I'm 38 years old. And that doesn't include the house that I'm in right now. It doesn't include where I moved to college, and also didn't include the time I moved when I was in Ghana to another house. And I'm pretty sure I've missed some times in there that I've moved. But I started to think, I just wanted to settle down sometimes, but also I'm conflicted because I also want to travel the world, and I just want to be all over the place. But I started to think, transitions are part of life. No matter, if it's as crazy as mine has been, yours, transitions are always a part of life. It's a part of who we are. In fact, once you stop transitioning, that means you're dead. You're dead. That's your last transition. I mean, think about it. We go from infancy to being a toddler, from being a toddler to adolescence, from adolescence to young adulthood, from a young adulthood to middle adulthood, and then to being into your elder adulthood. And after that, that's your last transition into whether it's going to be actually in heaven or away from God somewhere else in hell. But transitions are always a part of life. I mean, that's who we are as human beings. We continue to transition. In fact, children, if you think about it, you go from one grade to the next. You go from one subject to the next subject, one concept to the next subject. It's a part of who we are. It's a part of what makes us human. We continue to move. In fact, the antonym for transition is stagnation. So if you're not transitioning, you're not moving, you're probably going to become stagnant. You're probably going to become stale. You're not going to grow. So it's part of growth. It's necessary for growth. But, thinking about it also, if with transition comes change. Change has to happen with transition. Let's say if you're a regular D student, you want to become a C student. You're going to have to change. That transition is going to have to happen. Something's going to have to happen. If you're a B student and you want to become an A student, transition is going to have to happen. My father, when he found out he had high cholesterol and his blood pressure was high, he had to change the way he was eating. He had to change the way he was exercising. In fact, he went out and just walked every day. He dropped a lot of weight. His cholesterol came down. His blood pressure came down. He lost some weight. When I wanted to lose weight, I had to change the way I ate. I had to change, you know, the way I lived, the way I exercised. It just had to happen. That's part of what transitions is. So important as transitions are, and I was thinking about, there's a transition that happened that happens in everyone's life that has happened in the past that is important. It's one of the most important transitions that has happened in the world. It's the transition of God coming to earth. It's the Christ coming and putting himself in the form of human flesh and transitioning to dwell among his people. That is the most important transition that has happened. And either everyone is going to have to come to a point where actually they receive the transition or they reject it. So today I'm going to talk to you about the transition to Christ and what it means in your life, what it means for you to receive the Christ or to reject him. You know, when I was a child, around 10 to 11, I was in Ghana at that time, and I remember stepping onto an elevator, and then it was one of those old freight elevators that they closed and had the gate in front of it, so the operator had to turn the handle and the elevator raised up. And I was going on there, and the operator closed the gate, turned the handle, the elevator was rising, and then he starts shouting, saying, "Hey, kids, say this, Papa Bronya, A by A, Papa Bronya, A by A." And all the kids in there started shouting, "Papa Bronya, A by A, Papa Bronya, A by A." We started rising, and all the kids are shouting, "Papa Bronya, A by A." And as I started raising up from floor to floor, I started hearing more of the sounds coming from another floor where we stopped at. I step off the elevator, I turn the corner, we're walking down the hallway, there's decorations, there's Christmas lights all over the place, the noise is getting louder and louder, "Papa Bronya, A by A." And I saw presents, I saw a tree, and I recognized someone familiar. Guy with a beard, red, big stomach, sitting there on the chair. Well, that was Papa Bronya. In Ghana, Papa means father. Bronya is Christmas. So we were saying Father Christmas, A by A, is coming. They call him Father Christmas over there. And so let me tell you something. I don't care what Megyn Kelly says, Papa Bronya is black. I seen him. I can tell you, I testify on mine that Santa Claus is black. I'm telling you, I seen it for my. In fact, he's African, has an African accent too. Yeah, it was the funniest thing in my life. That's the first time I saw African Father Christmas or Santa Claus. But he gave one gift out to all the kids, and we ate some cookies, had a joyous time. It was very merry. And I was thinking about the gift that he was giving out. Even then, thinking about that and transitions and gift, it doesn't matter what gift that Papa Bronya can give you or Santa Claus can give you, he cannot give you the most important gift that can ever come into your life, and that's the gift of Jesus Christ in the flesh. It's the gift of God, the Son of God coming, incarnating himself into the world. And at this point, we still have to talk about receiving him. The gift of God. About 2 days, today's the 23rd, we're going to celebrate Christmas. What we just read in the scripture reading, where everyone knows about the nativity scene. It's a great to even hear over and over again. We know about Mary. We know about Mary and Joseph and the angel coming to her. And Mary, who was 13 or 14 at that time, maybe 15 at the most. She was 15, she would have been old. So she was probably 13, 14. And we know that she was a poor little girl from Nazareth. So the Christ, God, came through a poor little girl that no one expected will birth the most important thing in the world. But even if we think about that and the gifts that we're going to receive, you have to think about, don't forget, when we give gifts, it is Mary, it's a good time, but think about the gift to Christ. Think about that. Ponder on what Christ has done for you on the cross. Ponder on how he had lived and he died and he was buried and he raised up and he ascended to heaven. Now he sits at the right hand of Christ, interceding for you and me. But when we look at the nativity scene, we see in Luke, it's written about in Luke, it's also written about in Matthew. We read from Luke today. And we see that Matthew talks about it, and he goes tracking Jesus' genealogy going back to Father Abraham, the father of many nations. And then we look at Luke. Luke talks about the genealogy of Jesus going all the way back to Adam. Mark does something different, and he has Jesus as a full-blown man, and he's going right into ministry. But God had Jesus, John do something different. He didn't go back to his genealogy going back to Abraham. He didn't go back to Adam. He went back to the beginning. He went back to the beginning and showed where his origin was and said his origin was God himself. That's where we are in the text today. In verse 1 of John 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things was made through him, and without him, not even one thing was made." We're talking about a God who has always been there, who created it all, who created you and me, who blessed you and me. And if you see in chapter 3 of Genesis, you see what actually happened, and there was a fall that happened. So after he made us and he blessed us and he gave us all that we needed, there's a tension that happened in verse 3, in chapter 3. The fall happened. That is when man and woman alienated themselves from God and brought destruction to everyone here. Yes. Brought internal separation. Yes. And I don't want to rush through this, but it got to a point where God gave them out their punishments and their curses, and then he said, he's thinking to himself, he says, "You guys can't fix what's happened here. No one can fix this dissension that has here, this alienation. The only one can fix it is me, and I'm going to send a seed in the future to fix this and redeem it all." Amen. So now the Word is coming to redeem it all. Yes. God himself is coming in flesh to redeem it all. Yes. And that's where we have the Christ coming in the manger. He's coming to redeem it all. The Word become flesh, and now he's here to redeem it all. But we see something tragic that's happening. He came into the world, the people who he created, to redeem what we could not redeem. And the Bible says in verse 9 about the true light, it says the true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And verse 10 says he was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own creation and the world did not know him. He came to his own. I mean, think about it. He's talking about even the Jews, about the people who he set aside, he chose. He took them out of Egypt. He took them from across the Red Sea, provided for them in the desert with food. He chose to have the birth to Christ from his own people who he chose and he protected for so many years did not even recognize him. Yes. Yes. They did not accept him. In fact, they end up rejecting him. That's a tragedy. It's a tragedy on so many different levels. So many different levels. When we have a creator God that's reaching out, he wants you to receive him. All you have to do is receive him, and we reject him. Yes. That is tragic. But it's going to come a day when you're going to die. You have to face him. You're going to have to ask, and he's going to ask you, why should he let you come near him or in heaven? And it's not going to be anything good that you can say. In fact, it says, the Bible says, your goodness is as filthy rags. It's not even good enough. What you think is good to him is not even good enough. So you think you've been a good enough person, you're going to have to, your day is coming when you have to face God, and he's going to say, that's not going to cut it. There are Christians here who God is still coming. He's always in transitioning into you, trying to poke your life and trying to prong into different areas of life. There's some Christians here who are not receiving him to all areas. They're holding on to their anger. They're holding on to they won't forgive their wife or their husband, their sister, their brothers. There's grudges that they're holding on to. There's darkness in their life. There's secrets in their life. They still cheat, maybe gossiping, all sorts of stuff. You know what those dark areas are in your life. God is saying, receive me, and you're rejecting him. Don't let that be today. Don't leave this place today rejecting him. But it didn't remain hopeless at all. For we see in verse 11 that it says, in verse 12 it says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. It did not remain hopeless. For all who did receive him back then, he gave them the right, or better word right there may be power, to become children of God. children of God. Well, let me back up a little bit. What happened to the people that didn't become children of God? It says that they didn't know them and he did not recognize them. Let's look at the word know. A lot of times we think of knowing knowledge in our minds in the Western world as being something that's intellectual, about gathering information and just, you know, building on and say, okay, I've read about that person, I know about them. But you know, when a child comes, if you ask me when a new baby born, I got five kids, any of my kids were born, the first day you say, what do you know about the child? I say, I don't know nothing. It's gonna take me time to really get to know the child. Knowledge in John, if you look at the Greek, it was not a noun that was used, but a verb. And this verb, scholars and commentators will tell you that it's a word that requires a response. It requires you to do something and respond. It is not something that is intellectual primarily. In fact, one scholar has put it like this. It says that the tragedy of the Western church is that the tragedy of the Western church is that they don't understand the word know or knowledge. Matter of fact, it says the people who think that knowledge is just primary information gathering, that is wrong and is a far cry from the meaning of knowing. Knowing is a relational idea in the gospel. This may be illustrated from Genesis 4:1, where it states that Adam knew his wife. It was in and just read about and just knew. It said he knew his wife, and that knowledge resulted in children. So obviously, this is still the scholar, that knowledge that John is talking about, which is a verb, is not primarily intellectual. Mm-hmm. Accordingly, knowing the word of God, knowing Jesus and the gospel is not about knowing about facts. It's about a relationship. It's about a relationship. They prayed all the time. They knew the scriptures all the time. They went to the holy days. They celebrated the holy days, went to the temples. But they weren't really trying to get to know him and experience him. They were just checking off the box and doing whatever they, you know, God required of them. But they didn't know him. In fact, if you go to John, I think it was 9 or 8, he's talking to the Pharisees and he says, and to the Jews, he says, you guys know, you read the scriptures and you know life because life is found in the scriptures, but you still don't know me. And his verse above it says, because you do not abide in me. You don't have that relationship with me. You know, if you ask me about my wife, me and my wife relationship, we're learning each other more and more as time goes on. We really want to know each other as time goes on. That's the relationship of knowing. In other words, knowing is about learning to know. It's not just a knowledge of knowing. It's about learning to know. So the question is, will you go on the path right now to start to learn to know about Christ? For those who are not sure, like, I don't know about this God. I really don't know. What you could do is just start taking steps to try and learn more about him and learn him. That means you have to have a relationship with him. You have to start somewhere. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to become children of God. And verse 13 says, not by anybody's will, but his own, who was born not by the blood, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Children of God. Let's talk about transition. We didn't even talk about transition, because we're talking about transitioning of Christ. Transition comes from a word, from the root tra, or tran, T-R-A, T-R-N. It's different variants of that. But it means across, or means movement. So take, for instance, transportation. It's the movement of people or things from one place to another. Take the word transfer, or the phrase transfer student. It's the movement of a student from one school to another. Or we can say the student has crossed from one place or one school to another. Or the word tradition. Tradition is the movement of ideas, values, belief systems, cultural practices from one generation to another. When transition happens, movement is happening. Things are happening. One of the things that happens when you receive Christ is that he transitioned you from a place of darkness into a place of light. From being a child of, really, the Bible says, of the devil, to a child of God. Transition. It has to happen. The question is, where are you transitioning from? Are you transitioning to become a child of the God? And if you are a child of God, are you still transitioning to get to know him? Or are you becoming stagnant, not transitioning at all, getting to know him? Let's talk about believe also. To all those who believed in him, all those who received and believed in his name, the same thing with belief. A lot of times we think belief is something heady. It's something that's intellectual up here. But again, it's a verb in the Bible. Believe. It requires something. If someone comes to me and I know this, if someone says, hey man, that food is poisonous. And my wife, you know, my wife tells me, it's not poisonous, go ahead and eat. Now, if I truly believe her, truly believe, it's going to require me to do something. It's not something just up here. So belief is probably better translated for us today. They would have understood it this way, but us today, the better word is trust. So let's read this verse with the word trust. Verse 12, but to all who did receive him, who trusted in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God, who was born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but the will of God. All those who trusted in him. Have you put your trust in him? What about the area over there that you've been holding on to, that you don't want to let go of? Or the area over there. You know, God is telling us as Christians, I want to be in all areas of your life. All, not just some, but all. Please trust me with your marriage. Please trust me with your kids. Please trust me with the house that you want to move in. Please trust me with the where you want to move, the children you're raising, your job, your relationships with your family. Trust me, he's saying. He wants you to trust him. Put your trust in him and don't run your own life. In fact, this is one of the big things I've been dealing with lately. It's talking about transition. There's a lot of transition that's happening in my life. I've been thinking about it. And God is telling me to trust him. Do you trust me? I mean, you're moving anyway. You came from being a kid to now. You're going to keep on transitioning. The question is, are you going to trust me while you're transitioning? Because you are in my hands. They're saying, he's saying, all those who do believe in him. Transition. Christ came to the world for you to receive him. That's the reason why he came. So to make you a child of him. To make you a child of God, so he can be there, and as verse 14 says, so he can dwell with you forever. Now, let's define transition. We talked about where the root, but we didn't talk about the word transition. Transition, according to the dictionary, is the movement of something across of a stage, a state, a state of being, stages, processes. It's just a general idea. It's a whole bunch of stuff that it's talking about moving through, of movement. Let me read exactly what it says. It's the passage of movement from one state, stage, subject, or place to another. Or for music people, it's the musical modulation of going from one piece, section of a piece to another. And for physics people, you know, all those who are scientists and physics lovers, is abrupt change in energy state or level, usually accompanied by a loss or gain of a single quantum of energy. Transition. When you became a child of God, you transitioned from the world into a life with him. It wasn't some just regular transition. As I was stating, it's from one state of change to another. It was a spiritual transition. It couldn't be just a regular one. We're talking about the Almighty God who transcended, who's creator of all, transitioning to the world, transitioning to your life, is going to cause something. Yep. Right. So formally, where were you before he transitioned? And formerly, you were in a state of darkness. Formerly, your stage of life was death, dead in your sin. Formerly, the subject of your life read, I want to do whatever pleases me. Formerly, your place where you were was somewhere over there as an enemy of God, alienated, not knowing how to get back to him on the highway to hell. But after Christ came and after he transitioned into your life and you received and trusted in him, you went from a state of being in a state of darkness to light. You went from a stage of being dead in your sins to having life in Christ. You went from a subject that read in your life that I want to do my own thing, pleases me, whatever I want to do, to whatever pleases the Lord, whatever pleases him, his will. And you went from a place alienated from Christ all the way over there to him dwelling with you right here, right now. Amen. That is where you are in your state. The question is, for those who aren't there, do you want to be there? Will you receive him today? For those that are Christians, will you receive him to those areas of darkness? Because those areas of darkness, he wants to put light in. Those areas that are dead, he wants to give life. Those areas where it still is me, what I want to do, he wants to, hey, let me do over there. So celebrate him this Christmas, December 25th, for what he's done, for your life, for your light that he's brought you, for where he brought you from, the darkness that he brought you through, for the where he is, for working through you. Praise him for what he's going to do to you in the future and the transitions he's going to take you from. Because you know that living is he loves you. Dying, he's saved you. Yeah. Buried, he took your sins far away. Yes. Rising, he justified and freed you and me forever. Amen. And someday he's coming back. Yeah. It's a glorious day. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the child that you sent to save us from our sins. I pray that you'll touch our hearts. Those who are blocking you from all areas of some life that you want them to be in, even my life, Lord, I pray that you convict me. Let me accept you where those places are so that you'll clean them out and shine bright. Shine bright and overflow so other people can see the light and see you or who you are, Lord. For those that are not Christians, Lord, I pray that you'll soften their hearts. Continue to reveal yourself to them. And if you are, Lord, I pray that they'll receive you and accept you and see the glorious work of what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now let's take some time as we take some time to clear our hearts for communion. That means let's clear our hearts and ask God to forgive us for our sins and just prepare and just think about what he's done on the cross.